Amen. Let's turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 1. I'm going to share here for a little while, and then we're going to pray for a little while and allow the Lord to impart some life to us. John chapter 1, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not." John says, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with Him. It was through Jesus that everything you see, it was through Him and with Him that all of creation came into existence. Life as we know it. And He says, in Him was life, and that life was the light of men. And the light shined into the darkness, but the darkness did not comprehend it. Didn't comprehend it. I would have liked it better if He would have said, and the light shined in the darkness and drove it out. Got rid of it. Annihilated it. Trodden underfoot. Totally crushed it. Demolished it, you know. So I don't know about you, but darkness causes havoc in my life that I don't need and I don't like. And I would rather that when Jesus came the first time, He just dealt with all the darkness and all we get to do is enjoy the glory of His light. But we just have to wait for another season. That's coming when He comes back again. But for now, we have to deal with this darkness thing. How the light shines into the darkness, but the darkness doesn't comprehend it. I find it interesting when I study the Gospels and I see the ones who should have received Him, the ones who were the most qualified, didn't comprehend who He was. In Him was life, and that life was the light of men. And He shows up in the synagogue, flips the Torah scroll open to the prophet Isaiah, and He starts to say, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me to preach the gospel, to declare the acceptable day of the Lord, the opening of the prison to those who are bound." And then He closes it and says, "Today this verse is fulfilled in your presence." And instead of them embracing Him as He had just declared, the one who was the liberator, the one who was the Savior, His light was shining in the midst of the synagogue. And instead of them receiving Him, they didn't comprehend. And they grabbed Him and they were going to kill Him because of the blasphemy. And Jesus just stops them in the middle of it, you know. He just says, "It's not my time, so y'all can go ahead and get angry and do what you throw your little temper tantrum, but it's just not going to happen. You're not going to be able to take me out right now." Over and over again, he's questioned by these so-called connoisseurs of the law, these people who should have known what the Bible said and what it meant, and they knew all the prophetic declarations. They knew it. They had it down, the scribes and the Pharisees. In fact, when the three wise men who were following a prophetic word from Balaam some, you know, 2,000 years or however many generations that was before, when Balaam was hired to curse the people of God, he couldn't. couldn't curse. All he could do was bless. And he gave this declaration about a star rising in the sky of the coming Messiah. And that prophetic word was watched over generation after generation after generation after generation. And the three wise men see the star and they know the time of the Savior was come. Living in a dark place. Living in a place that was not filled with the teaching of God, but they had a prophetic declaration from generations past. They comprehended it, but the ones in the temple studying the Bible, studying the Torah, studying the prophetic words, didn't comprehend what was happening. They go to Herod and they're like, "Where's the king of the Jews?" He's like, "What do you mean? I am the king of the Jews." So he calls in the scribes, he calls in the high priest. He's like, "Hey, where's this Messiah going to be born?" And what did they do? They told him, Bethlehem. So here's the ones who studied the prophetic word, giving it to the one who wants to murder and kill and stop the move of God. Giving them revelation, giving Herod revelation so that he could send his soldiers to go, you know, kill all the babies. I mean, there was a mass genocide that was initiated out of all of that. So here's the light shining in the darkness. And the ones you would think that would comprehend it, see it by revelation, they don't understand it. They don't see it. But the ones who you would be like, "Yeah, you know, I just don't think that person knows. I could give him G-O and they can't spell God." But they were the ones who comprehended it. I mean, the scripture tells us that he will confound the wise with simple things. I love the simplicity of God. Because even in the simplicity, there's so much complexity, you just can't comprehend it. Paul wrote to the Ephesians, you know, "I pray that you just know by revelation the height and the depth and the breadth, the just complexity of the love of God that surpasses knowledge. It goes beyond our ability to comprehend. It goes beyond human comprehension. It's an experience. It's something that you experience. And because you have experienced it, you know by knowledge, you know by revelation, you know by experience this is true." And there's something the Lord is releasing in the earth. And you know, I'm going to try really hard to make a personal connection with this message this morning so you can apply it in your personal life. But I feel like this is a description of what's happening in the world around us. Because we're in such a divided time in history around the globe. We have two kingdoms fighting against one another in a major, major way. And it's pushed in the forefront of everything right now that it's undeniable. But if we don't understand the times, we won't know what to do. Everywhere around the globe, there are people rioting and there's uprisings and there's new elections. There's things happening. And if we don't have the right perspective on all of that, we won't comprehend the light that's shining, that's bringing liberty to humanity. And if anybody should understand it, it should be us, right? I mean, we carry the Holy Spirit. And if we carry the Holy Spirit, we should be able to discern spirits. That's one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. That's one of the things He allows us to do. We can listen to something and discern whether it's truth. In fact, that's one of the measurements of maturity in the Scripture, that you can discern good and evil with your senses. whether it's sight or hearing or touching or taste or all of the five senses that you've got, we should be able to discern good and evil. Some people think that being gifted is a sign of maturity. Well, you know, being gifted is a sign of hunger, really, because you hunger and thirst. You pursue the gifts. You covet the gifts, and the Lord gives them to you freely. You don't have to pay for that. But a real sign of maturity is that you have taken time to get into the presence of the Lord, to study His light, to allow the Holy Spirit to give you wisdom, to really submit yourself to a life with Him that functions on the level of conscience, so that when you find yourself in a situation where you can't find a Bible verse that tells you what to do, your conscience tells you what to do. You know what the right thing is because this conscience, this Holy Spirit, your spirit connected with the Holy Spirit rises up in the midst of it, and you know what to do. I mean, we've all been there, right? You know, you're walking in the mall and all of a sudden you feel like you need to go down this way instead of going down that way. Driving down the road and you're like, man, I need to take the, I don't know why, but I just need to take a different pathway today. Or be in the middle of a situation and all of a sudden you get the right words to say. You'll be in a meeting at work and you just kind of know what you need to say. And then you're given opportunity to say it. You open your mouth and say it. And lo and behold, it was the right answer. That's the authority of conscience. That is this Holy Spirit on the inside of you, enabling you to be light, to shine into the darkness. So we've got to be mature in the Lord. We have to be to a place where all of our insecurities and all of our things that cause us to miss what He's doing for our lives, we've got to lay all that aside and be strong and courageous. If we fail to do so, we just miss the movement that's happening. Did you know there's revival in politics right now? There's a mighty revival happening in the political arena. I know it doesn't look like it, but there's a mighty revival happening in the political arena. And it doesn't look like the kind of revival you and I grew up in church. It doesn't look like people falling out in the Holy Ghost and talking in tongues and shaking and, you know, it doesn't look like that. But there's a mighty revival happening in the political arena today. There's actually a mighty revival happening in Hollywood as well. But it doesn't look like the revival that we know to be revival. And what happens to us is we have a tendency to conform or take what we think it should look like and project it upon everything else. And I think this is really what happened to the people around Jesus who missed Him. They thought He was coming as a political leader to be the king in that season. That's what they thought. But He wasn't coming as a political leader. I don't even know if Jesus is concerned about politics, but I know He's concerned about you and me. In fact, there was a time in the Old Testament where the people were crying out for a king like all the rest of the earth, and God's like, you don't need a king. In fact, you don't need that style of human government. Self-governance is the highest form of human government. And let me be your king, God was saying. And they kept telling, no, we want a king. And so the Lord says, okay, I'm going to give you what you're asking for. But when I do this, I just want you to know that your sons and daughters are going to go into slavery and they're going to start wars. And it's going to be chaos because you chose to have a human government that does not exalt self-government over other government. In our history, we've become so dependent upon institutions. Did you know that only 5% of people in America today are actually self-sufficient? And what I mean by that is they have the knowledge and the resources to grow their own food, to have clean water, to generate their own power, to be self-sufficient. They don't need the infrastructure of institutions around them in order. They don't need the grocery store to get food. How many of you know that beef doesn't come from the grocery store? I know that sounds really silly, but did you know that there's a lot of people who think beef comes from, where does beef come from? Well, H-E-B. Well, yeah, that's where you buy it, but beef actually comes from a cow that's in a field that somebody's feeding hay and corn to, and then they slaughter the beef, and then you get steak on your plate. People have become so dependent upon these institutions that they've actually lost sight. And if that fails, if the infrastructure fails, within 3 days, there'll be so many people without food and just not able to sustain. But actually being self-sufficient is God's way. And when I say self-sufficient, I'm not saying without Him, right? I mean, that should go without saying. By being God-dependent, He empowers us to be self-sufficient. He gives us wisdom, and He gives us power, so that if all we have are 2 fish and 5 loaves, we can feed 5,000 people, because we've got a system we can tap into that's greater than the systems of the world. So if we have knowledge to build a garden and a greenhouse and to plant food and develop our own food, that's great. But there are also times where that won't be enough, and you have to tap into the supernatural things of God. So all these things that are happening around us are happening because humanity is waking up to the fact that we've put our trust in institutions. And God is saying, you need to put your trust in me. Because the institutions have sold your children into slavery. They have got us into wars that we don't need to be in. You know, on and on and on and on and on down the list. Some of y'all are looking at me crazy. I mean, the national deficit in the United States is going to be paid by somebody. The debt that the Federal Reserve has allowed to happen, which, by the way, is not even a government agency, it's a private bank that's been given governmental authority. Somebody's going to have to pay that debt. That's putting our children in slavery. So if we don't, as individuals, understand all of that and find ways to engage ourselves in trade in new ways, when that system crumbles, we will crumble with it. If we don't find ways to allow the life of Jesus to be dominating our world, when the systems of the world crumble, you crumble with it. I remember I was getting into real estate investing, and this was back in 2007, two years before the big crash. You know, how many of y'all remember that big crash that happened? And we were doing great. Everything was going awesome, going wonderful. But prior to getting into that, I remember hearing God tell me it's not time. And in the moment, it wasn't one of those strong, you know, overwhelming times where I was like, oh yeah, I need to listen to that voice. It was like this real quiet, calm thing. Like, is that God or is that me? Is that God or is that me? You know what's going on? It wasn't so obvious that I knew, you know, this is God. So at the time I was like, I don't know, all this looks really good. I don't see a reason why not to do it. So I don't understand. So I just didn't listen to that voice. Had I listened to that voice and just waited until 2009 or 2010, I would have been, instead of getting in at the top of the market and crumbling with all the rest of it, I would have gotten in at the bottom of the market and prospered while all of it came back up. But because I didn't listen to the Holy Spirit, the voice that was telling me what to do in the moment, I went through a major, major, major loss. Now the Lord restored it back to me, and you know, really quickly, and now I'm way better off than I was back then, just because God is good and He knows how to restore a thing better than it was before. But there's things going on around us on a global scale that we need to be aware of, and we need to be listening. And I love the way God will just speak to us as individuals, because He understands that self-governance is the greatest form of government. And if we just make choices based on what He is asking us to do as individuals, then our families are protected. Our families are safe. We just can't depend on the news people to tell us what's happening and what we're supposed to do. In fact, you can't even really depend on me to tell you what to do. You need to know the Holy Ghost for yourself. You need to know your Bible for yourself. You need to be able to read it and understand it and discern it and know what Jesus is saying to you as an individual. I'm going to do my best to try to help you out every chance I can, but you know, there's certain things I just can't do. I have limitations, but the Lord doesn't have limitations. In Jesus is life. And in that life is the light of men. In that life that He brings to us shines through all the hate. It shines through all the sickness and disease. It shines through all of that. And it's our responsibility as individuals to let our light shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine, right? But here's the people walking around Jesus, arguing with Him about who He is and what He's supposed to be doing, you know. And it even got to the place where He's questioning His disciples. Well, are y'all gonna leave me too? I mean, because some of the things He was saying, it was difficult for people to really understand. You know, when you have a parable or you have something that's a parallel that you can relate to, it's pretty easy to understand. But when Jesus starts talking about, if you're going to serve me, you've got to eat my flesh and drink my blood, I mean, there's just no earthly parallel to really understand what He's talking about right there. Because if you try to find an earthly parallel, that's cannibalism, and that's not what He was talking about. He wasn't talking about cannibalism. But when God starts talking to us about things we have no earthly parallel for, we have to be able to move with Him and flow with Him, even though it goes beyond our own comprehension. If we exalt our own thinking above His thinking, we're in trouble. If we try to make Him conform rather than allowing His word to conform us, we're just in trouble. I know a lot of people that I would say something like, Jesus loves you and He wants to heal you. And they would say, well, that's just not been my experience. I've been prayed for and I'm not healed. I've done this and I'm just not healed. And in the moment, you know, you just say something really nice and empathetic and, you know. But what I want to say is, so are you saying that your experience is greater than God's word? Is that what you're saying? But that's insensitive, so you got to be sensitive, you know. The moments of things that seem like they're not working, but yet God's word says something else, Sometimes you just got to get over the mystery of it and just be like, I have no idea. I don't know. Why isn't it working? I don't know. But I know God's good, and I know He loves me. And I know all things work together for the good of those who love the Lord and are called according to His purpose. And I love the Lord, and I'm called according to His purpose. And so something good is going to come out of it. But here's the disciples. Jesus turns to them and says, you know, all these other people that I've been demonstrating miracles to, you know, these were the people that actually experienced miracles. There were people in this crowd that were healed. This is in John chapter 6. There were people in the crowd who had experienced supernatural provision. I mean, they're following Him. The masses are now following Him because they're wanting to make Him king. They're wanting to put Him in a place that He didn't come to be put in. And so when they were unable to put Him in that place, they just decided, well, we're going to go ahead and leave. So Jesus turns to His disciples because they were grumbling about the stuff too. They didn't understand in the moment, and they're grumbling about it. And Jesus asks them, well, are y'all going to leave too? And Simon Peter speaks up in the midst of it, and he's like, Lord, where else are we going to go? You carry the words of life, eternal life. In other words, Jesus, I don't understand it, but when you talk, I come alive. Something inside of me wakes up. Something inside of me, I just experience life. When you open up your mouth and talk, life is imparted to me. I don't understand it, but you're the guy who carries life, so I'm going to keep following you, you know. I don't understand what's going on in the world today, but it's not my job to understand it. It's my job to follow Jesus. I don't understand why sometimes people get healed when I pray and sometimes they don't. I don't understand that, but what I do know is that by His stripes we're healed. I don't have to understand it all. I just have to stick with the one who's got life. Amen? So what I'm saying to you today is that as we enter into 2019, we're being commissioned in a new way. And there will be moments where people around you will not understand what God is doing in your life. There will be moments where the Lord is using you to bring life and light into a dark place. And there will be people around you who won't understand. And that's okay. They don't have to understand. But you have to be strong and courageous. I mean, there's a reason why God would have to tell Joshua, be strong and courageous. You're getting ready to possess a promise. I mean, even though that's an individual word for everybody in here. We go from faith to faith and glory to glory. 2018 was a glorious year for me. I'm looking forward to more glory in 2019. I didn't say it was an easy year. I said it was a glorious year. But 2019 is going to be more glorious, filled with more life, filled with more blessing. But rather than try to understand everything about it, all I need to do is make sure that I'm being strong and courageous so that when God talks, I move. I think this is one of the biggest things that we struggle with, is that when God talks, we don't move. And I think He's okay with a couple of fleeces like He was, you know, back during the time of the judges. He's probably okay. If you're like, well, God, is this me or is this you? I need a sign here, you know. It's not really okay to ask God for a sign when he's not speaking. You know, if you need direction, just ask him a question. But when he's talking to you and you don't understand whether it's his voice or your voice, it's okay to say, well Lord, I need, you know, if this is you, I need to know. So I need you to give me a sign so I can act. But it's always just better just to act. Whether you believe it's God or not God, you know, just try it out. See what happens. Just step out there and see what happens. Take a little risk. As we're getting ready to be used mightily outside in our everyday lives as individuals, as the Lord's kingdom invades the earth in such a powerful way. The biblical year started in September. Since September, we have been, the Lord has been crowning us with glory in a new way. As we enter into January and start the secular year, the things that God has been depositing in our hearts for the last 3 months are going to begin to reach our feet. And what I'm saying is, everywhere you step, you will be walking in anointing and glory. If you're willing. You don't have to be able to understand it, and you don't have to be able to do it out of your own strength. All you have to do is be willing. If you're willing, the Lord will use you. If you're willing, you're going to heal the sick and raise the dead and cast out devils and cleanse lepers and move in signs and wonders and miracles that you didn't even know you could. If you're willing, you're going to get creative ideas, new concepts that are going to bring your personal life into a new level of prosperity, but you're also going to be helping people around you. If you're willing, you're going to get this discernment thing that helps you to say the right things at the right time and speak words of peace. Blessed are the peacemakers. We need peacemakers in this generation. Which sometimes, you know, a peacemaker isn't always somebody who's trying to side with both sides just to bring compromise. Sometimes the peacemaker walks in and declares something that offends, but it brings peace. It might be offensive, but it brings peace. It brings resolution. Some of us are going to walk into a new season of purity that enables us to see God in a new way. Blessed are the pure of heart, for they shall see God. So, what am I saying? I'm saying that in Jesus is life, and that life is the light of you. And I'm saying that if we can allow the Holy Spirit to awaken us to see, to actually be able to see, to look beyond our own preferences, our own biases, our own ways of thinking, and actually see God in the midst of all things, that we can be used in such a mighty way to bring revival and reformation, which is what I believe Jesus paid for on the cross. He paid for a people that's filled with power and wisdom. He paid for a people who are able to rise up and demonstrate the glory and the power of God. not with an argument, right, but with a demonstration of power. I'm going to say this and then we're going to pray. We've got enough religious folks running around who can quote scripture day and night, but they can't demonstrate what they're talking about. And in fact, most of them are living a life of hypocrisy, and they're not actually living out what they're saying, but they're more than willing to condemn you for whatever they're telling you about. We have enough of that. But what we need is to be people who can demonstrate what we believe. Not just talk about it, not just have a good argument about it, but actually demonstrate it. To me, that's what it means to be a disciple of Jesus. That's what it means to follow Jesus, is to have His words abiding in me and then be able to demonstrate those words. And keep pressing into Him until I can demonstrate it. And it's probably a really good idea to preach to myself about it until I can demonstrate it, rather than preach to everybody else about it. Amen? Why don't you stand with me? Somebody having mechanical issues in their car right now, like major mechanical issues? Not really. Is that you? Okay. Yeah. The Lord wants me to let you know that He really loves you and He's concerned about your ability to go here and there. And so there's a new vehicle coming your way. I don't know if it's a approval of a loan or if it's somebody, a family member, or somebody's going to give you a vehicle, but the Lord's bringing you a new vehicle. Amen. Let's give the Lord some glory. Hallelujah. Merry Christmas. It's your birthday? On Christmas. Well, happy birthday. Yeah. Wow, that's awesome. That is awesome. What else, Lord? What else are we doing? Aren't you so excited that the gifts of the Holy Spirit are so practical? And isn't it great that you can just be normal? You can like be yourself and move in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. It doesn't have to be this big, demonstrative thing, you know? I love that. I do. Amen. I'm not hearing anything else, so unless y'all are hearing something, we'll go ahead and pray. Anybody hearing a word from the Lord? Not really. All right. Just raise your hands with me. Father, we just thank You for Your goodness. Lord Jesus, we thank You for the sacrifice of Your life so we could have life. Help us to comprehend. Help us to embrace and receive Your life in a new way. Breathe on us. Breath of God, breathe on us in a new way. Let Your blessings overtake us in days ahead. Allow us to tread upon serpents. Let our feet be filled with power and anointing. Let our mouths be filled with wisdom and love. Allow that prophetic anointing to come upon us so that when we decree a thing, it happens. Now the Lord will bless you and keep you. His face will shine upon you. will give you peace. You are being raised up and anointed in a new way to take territory for the kingdom of God. He is putting upon you a new prophetic gift to speak and declare into your atmosphere in Jesus' name. Amen. Give the Lord some glory. Hallelujah. And Merry Christmas. Have a good Christmas. Eat lots of good food. Have lots of fun with family. Even the ones that you don't get along with.